And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome, Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. And before we go any further, happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Don't forget your Valentine today, because your sweetie will be disappointed if you forget. So happy Valentine's Day. A little bit later on the program today, we're going to be talking about your eyes, about vision, and how your eyes work, and some of the latest developments in treating eye conditions and eye disease. I understand we're going to be speaking with an ophthalmologist, an eye doctor, Dr. Joseph Dowling. He's up in the Boston area, Providence, actually, I think, New England. But anyway, we'll talk about some of the recent developments and some eye diseases. That should be interesting. And we're also going to be talking a little bit later today about invasive pests. You know, we're on the cusp of spring here. We're just a couple of weeks away from March. Spring will be arriving, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. That's later. First thing we're going to talk about are your taxes. And we welcome Gene Bowen visiting with us today. Gene, good to see you again. Nice to have you back with us.
It's nice to see you too, Dave.
We've chatted with Gene for several years now because you have been the coordinator of the VITA program here in Butler County, right?
That is correct.
VITA, that's V-I-T-A, VITA, like vitamin, the beginning of vitamin. But it doesn't stand for vitamins, does it?
It does not. It stands for Voluntary Income Tax Assistance, and that's what we provide for low-income families.
Mm-hmm. Voluntary Income Tax Assistance. And by the way, for qualified families, it's free, right?
It is free.
Yeah. Well, we're into the tax season. Some folks like to get them done early. I guess it's mandatory that you get all the forms you need in the mail by the end of January, right?
All except for your investments. They don't have to be out till February 15th, so no. They've got till tomorrow to get those to you.
But you might have all that you need.
Correct.
You might be waiting for a couple of documents, but once you get all that stuff, then you can get your taxes done, right?
That is correct. We have a dedicated phone line that you can call to make an appointment, so mm-hmm. all our taxes are done by appointment.
Mm-hmm. We'll give that phone number a few times. Let's talk a little bit about the VITA program. First of all, there are some income eligibility requirements, correct, Gene?
There are some income eligibility requirements. You household income has to be less than $50,000, mm-hmm. and then there's several other requirements. If you own your own business, you can't have depreciable assets. We don't do landlord returns, things like that.
Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, if you meet the income eligibility, then you can get your taxes done for free. We're just talking about the federal income tax, right?
Federal and state.
Oh, state too?
Yes, we do the state too.
I didn't know that. Yeah,
federal and state are free. You do need to do your local because we can't e-file the local, so we mm-hmm. don't do that.
Well, state's another big thing, you know?
It is.
And it's also free?
It is also free.
Wow. What's the number, just in case there are people who are in the car and just, you know, pulling into the supermarket or the shopping center and they have to leave us? What's the number to call and schedule an appointment?
724-431-3767.
724-431-3767. We'll repeat that several times to make sure everybody has it. And you do need to make an appointment, right?
You do need to make an appointment.
It's not a walk-in service.
It is not, but we have six convenient locations, so you should be able to get in any of our locations.
That's more than last year, isn't it?
It is. We've added two locations. We've added Trinity Lutheran Church, which is up by Clearview Mall.
Mm-hmm.
So ample parking. You don't have to find a place to park down in town. And then we've added St. Luke's Lutheran Church out on Hannistown Road in Cabot. So we're trying to make it more convenient for our to meet our customers where they live.
Now, do you still have, you had a location in Slippery Rock, right?
We do have a location in Slippery Rock. We have a location in Cranberry Township.
Mm-hmm.
We have the downtown Butler location, so.
Where is it, downtown Butler?
We are at 212 South Main Street. We are, for those folks that have lived in Butler all their life, we're between what used to be Troutman's and what used to be Jaffe's.
Okay. Now we know where you're at.
Yeah, so.
That's pretty much across the street from Miller's Shoes, right?
It is directly across from Miller's Shoes.
Mm-hmm. And you also have a location in Katanning for folks over that way, too.
We do have a location in Katanning, and it is, we moved that location this year to Harvest Community Church. Again, ample parking and meet people where they live.
Can you go anywhere you want?
You can go to any of those sites you want.
Mm-hmm. But you call the same number to make an appointment.
You do. Any of those six sites, you can call that number to make an appointment.
There was, by the way, we have an intern with us here today. We should say hello to her.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
This is a student from
Slippery Rock.
Slippery Rock University. So you're interning with the VITA program?
Yep. Yeah.
It's Allison, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Where are you from, Allison?
Scranton.
You want to pursue a career with the IRS? Or?
I don't think so, but just good experience doing taxes will mm-hmm. help me pass my CPA.
Oh, so you want to be a certified public accountant?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Is that what you're studying at Slippery Rock?
Yeah, I'm an accounting and management major.
Ah, must be a math whiz, eh, Jean?
Yes. That's what I majored into, was business management and accounting. So.
Well, nice to have you stopping by with us today.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. Have you just started your internship?
Yes, I started last Thursday.
Yeah, okay. So kind of a spring semester type thing, huh?
Yeah.
Will you be graduating from Slippery Rock this year?
No, I'm a junior right now.
Another year to go, huh?
Yep.
Well, nice to have you with us here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Is she just watching, or does she help out some?
No, she has came to classes to learn how to do taxes back in, did you come to the November class?
Yeah, November.
Uh-huh. Okay, so she took classes in November. She passed an IRS certification test, and she is doing taxes.
All right.
Very good at it. So.
Good for you. Good for you. We should point out for folks who are wondering about this, you know, does the IRS approve this program? Indeed they do, Gene.
The IRS sponsors us, so mm-hmm. we are oversight by the IRS. I have a dedicated IRS agent that is part of our program, and mm-hmm. I'm in contact with her almost daily. So.
And your tax preparers are fully trained. They have to undergo training, make sure they're up to snuff on everything.
They do have to go through training, and we have a basic training and we have an advanced training. So most preparers that do it more than 1 year do the advanced training and then can do little harder returns, and they can review. So every return's reviewed, too.
Let's talk a little bit about last year. There was a major tax law that was passed by Congress. Sometimes that stuff kicks in, you know, over a series of years. Are there any major changes this year for people who are getting ready to file their federal income tax?
There are quite a few major changes for this year. The folks that are used to doing their taxes themselves normally would have filled out a 1040 EZ or a 1040A.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are gone.
Really?
Everything is on a 1040 this year, and now there's schedules to go along with that. So,
well, the old 1040 EZ, that's gone.
It's gone.
No more EZ.
No more EZ.
So everybody gets the same form.
Everybody gets the same form. It's a 1040, and it's a half a sheet, two-sided. I don't know if people remember, but when they first talked about tax law changes, they said they were going to do a postcard.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
So this is their idea of a postcard.
That went out the window, huh? Now that happens a lot with the federal government.
Yeah.
You'll be able to file on a postcard.
Not so much. Yeah.
Well, other than the fact that's quite a major change, has it become more difficult or is it easier?
Well, the laws have changed too. a lot of people will not be able to itemize this year that are used to doing that in the past.
Why not?
Because they've doubled the standard deduction.
Oh.
So now you've got to exceed that amount. They're going to give you, so if you were single, for instance, last in 2017,
mm-hmm.
you got $6,000 as a standard deduction. It is now $12,000. But you lost your exemption amount. Last year, the exemption amount was $4,050. So you're making out somewhat with the $12,000 because you had six and then the four is $10,000. Mm-hmm. So you get a little more.
But it's not what it sounds like at first blush, huh?
No, because what happened along with the Tax and Jobs Act last January, they lowered all the tax tables. So in your paycheck, all year long, you've been getting more money and less deducted. So refunds, we're experienced refunds are a little less than they were last year.
I saw a thing on TV about that. It's apparently a lot of people are not prepared for that. They were expecting to get a sizable refund, as they have perhaps for the past several years, and in many cases that's not happening this year.
Correct. When they put the Tax and Job Act in, they said people were going to get more money. What they failed to educate people on, yeah, you're getting more money, but you're getting it in little increments all year long, not on tax returns.
Getting any negative feedback whenever you do the final calculations and you tell people, here's going to be your refund. Do they, what, fall off the chair or something?
Well, they pull out last year's return and they say, well, I got this much more last year. And then I said, I show them what was withheld last year in comparison to what was withheld this year, and then they understand that they got more in their paychecks. And
may not like it, but they understand.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a certain, it's an emotional thing. You know, you can tell me you get a little bit more in your paycheck every way, but it's still nice, you know, to have that big check for a refund every spring.
And you're absolutely right. It is an emotional thing.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're dealing with people's money, you have to be very sensitive to those emotions that come along with the money issue. So,
what about, are there people who may have had a refund low these past many years of whatever size, and they might have to actually pay this year? Has that been happening to people?
Not too much, but we've had a few, yeah. If you were getting, you know, less than $1,000, you may owe this year.
That's a real shocker.
Yeah.
Not only do you not get a refund, but you owe money to the IRS.
What I try to remind them is this is a free service and you're getting your tax return done for free.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Once again, you need to meet the income eligibility. It's a household income of $50,000 or less.
Yes.
Yeah. Does it matter what your filing status is, married, single, whatever?
Nope, we don't. We don't discriminate on filing status. Mm-hmm.
It's just the income eligibility.
Yes.
Let's take a break. I have a lot more questions to talk about. We want to go over the places where you can, if you qualify, you can get your income taxes done for free. Free. We're talking with Gene Bowen, who's been coordinating the VITA program here in our area for several years now. We will be back with more on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
If you're thinking about buying a car, truck, or SUV, or even if you just bought one, make sure you check out the great rates at Armco Credit Union. Through February 28th, you can get a 60-month loan on new and used vehicles for as low as 2.24 annual percentage rate. We'll even refinance your loan from another financial institution. It's never been easier to join, so call today for other rates and terms or visit us at armcocu.com to become a member. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and federally insured by NCUA.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Talking about the VITA program, Voluntary Income Tax Assistance Program. It's up and running. I think it's up and running, right?
Yes, Jean? It's been. Yeah. We've been doing them for 3 weeks now.
Mm-hmm. Business pretty brisk early in the season.
It is. So people need to be patient. We're booked in the Butler office. We're booked until the first week of March. So
I say early in the season, and you can probably tell that I'm one of those guys who does it kind of late in the season. It's traditional for me. It's like studying for an exam. I wait until the last minute, then I do it. A lot of folks I know like to get it done early.
Yeah, they're people that jump at the first chance to get it done.
Now, if you live in Butler and you like to get your taxes done straight away, you could go to one of the other locations.
You can
drive to Slippery Rock or Cranberry or
Trinity Church. That's right. Is very convenient.
Trinity Lutheran Church just north of Clearview Mall,
and St. Luke's is very convenient, just down 356. So yeah, we've got lots of options for you.
Call the same number to make an appointment for any of the locations, and I jotted that number down. It's 724-431-3767. 724-431-3767. The IRS has been doing this for quite a while, haven't they, to help people out?
Actually, the IRS has had this program for about 30 years now.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, and it's in all 50 states, so it's not unique to Pennsylvania or anything, all 50 mm-hmm. states. And that $50,000 is set by the IRS. That's nationwide. So $50,000 in California is a whole different ballgame than $50,000 in Butler County.
That's for sure. We'd have a lot more people who would qualify here than would,
correct,
in, say, California or New York, for that matter. Yeah. Do your people that do the taxes, I assume they file them electronically these days, right?
We do file electronically, both federal and state.
Mm-hmm. Which is the way to do it these days. You know?
It is. For people that don't know the ins and outs, if you file your return paper, they just have somebody that they brought in for the tax season to put that in the computer, just like, you know, that's just keep punching it in.
Mm-hmm.
Mistakes are more likely to happen that way. Yeah. So you're better off having the first person that sees it put it in the computer. And
well, it seems like more and more these every year, you know, more and more people are filing electronically, even people that do their own. You know, they used to, remember the post offices used to stay open until midnight?
They used to have parties.
Yeah. You know? That's true. I forgot about that. You used to be able to, if you went down to the Butler post office up until midnight on April 15th, you could get a hot dog.
Exactly.
You could get a hot dog and a Coke. And they were, in Pittsburgh, they would have people out in the street with baskets. And people could just drive by and drop their taxes in before midnight, and they're guaranteed to be postmarked. I don't know. No post office to stay open anymore because there's not that many people that mail them.
The IRS truly encourages you to e-file. They want you to e-file.
Now, for people who have never done that before, maybe never gone through the VITA program or never e-filed, you can get your return. If you're getting a return, you can expect it quicker, right?
Correct. If you mail it in, it's taking 3 to 6 weeks. If you e-file it, it's pretty much taking 7 to 10 working days.
Mm-hmm. And most people don't get a check. They just
direct
get the
deposit,
money deposited into their whatever, checking account, savings account, whatever, they want, whatever you do. And you do it that way, too, with the VITA?
We encourage direct deposit because the less hands that money touches, the better.
How many people do you have preparing tax returns in your at all of your sites?
We this year we have 70 volunteers. 61 of them are tax preparers, and the other 7 greet people and help you fill out your paperwork and things like that.
Are appointments available 5 days a week?
In the Butler office, we do it Monday through Thursday from 9 in the morning till 8 at night, and then Saturdays 9 to 3. And then the other offices all have different hours. So when you call in, they're going to tell you those hours.
When you say where you want to go.
Right.
Instead of giving you the whole litany of, you know, if you're not going to Cabot, you really don't know what the, you don't care what the hours are there.
Correct.
Do you have any statistics from years gone by about, you know, how many tax returns you've done, or what kind of what's the gross tax refunds people have gotten when they've gone through the VITA program?
Of course I do.
She always has statistics.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's that math brain. But last year we did 2,432 returns, and with refunds and credits, we brought back $4.2 million, which over about $1.7 million of that was refundable credits, which means money you didn't put in that's coming back to our county to be spent. So it's a win-win for the county and everybody else to help support the VITA program.
You probably saw my eyes glaze over the minute you mentioned refundable credits. I don't understand it. How could you get money out that you never put in?
Well, the original intent of the VITA program was to help the working poor get the earned income tax credit.
Okay.
To keep them working. Mm-hmm. It was an incentive to keep people working. So that's been their mission the last 30 years, is to help people get that earned income tax credit.
And that's
still their mission.
Still in effect? That
yep.
still works?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the mission of the VITA program, is to help people get those credits, the child tax credit, the earned income tax credit, the education credit, because it's very important nowadays to have an education, too.
And it's, for the average person, it's a little complex, quite frankly. They don't deal with it on a regular basis. They don't deal with it ever.
Right. You know? It is. Every year they say it's getting easier. Not so much.
I wouldn't know. Education credit, earned income credit, I have no idea what that is. You know, I wouldn't be able to do that myself, that's for sure.
Well, funny you should say that. I have probably four or five retired CPAs helping with the VITA program to give back to the community. And, you know, they've been involved in estates or this part of the tax code or that part of that. But they haven't been involved in individual earned income tax credit, child tax credit. So they're learning things that they necessarily didn't know as CPAs because they didn't deal with it.
Here's the thing. If you qualify, you know, it would be really silly for you not to take advantage of the VITA program, because you could well be missing out on many of these credits.
Correct.
You know, if you try to do your taxes yourself.
And that's, yeah. And we want everybody to get back what they can.
Sure. Hey, without cheating, you'd like everybody to get as much of a refund as they deserve.
Correct. We want them to get what they should get.
Mm-hmm. That's a great program, that's for sure. I'm still kind of astounded at that total number of dollars in refunds with the 2,400
returns.
Tax returns prepared, and yet it was millions?
It was millions.
Wow.
Wow.
People get quite a refund in some cases there.
I got to tell you, we started this, or I've been involved for the last 9 years. I started, we had 15 preparers, and we were doing 365 returns. So in 9 years, we've added five offices and lots more preparers, and that number grows every year.
Can you do amended returns?
We can do amended returns. Mm-hmm. We have had to prepare that return to amend it, though.
Okay.
Okay. We don't necessarily amend returns that
someone else has done.
Someone else has prepared.
So what? How would you need to do an amended return if you found out that you had more income, or you found out there was a mistake, or
Typically, you know, people like to jump to get the refund at the beginning of tax season, and they may have another W-2 they forgot about. They may get, like I said, the banks don't have to have their stuff out till February 15th, so they may get an interest statement they forgot about. Typically, that's when you have to amend.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they went through a divorce last year, and they thought the other spouse was taking the child, and they didn't, and now they can take the child. We would amend that return. So,
is there a penalty for doing an amended return?
There is not.
No?
As long as you have up to 3 years to amend. So we're still could possibly amend returns from back in 2015.
Several times in the past few years, the tax deadline day has actually not been April 15th because of a variety of different things. There's a holiday in Boston, and there's, I don't know, there's other stuff.
Yes.
Is it actually going to be April 15th this year?
It is actually April 15th this year, except for Boston, except for Massachusetts. They do have a holiday on April 15th, which is a Monday. Mm-hmm. So theirs aren't due. It just Massachusetts only is not due until the 16th.
Okay. I can't remember. I think it was last year. It was actually, there was a two-day delay for some reason. There was a holiday in Washington, D.C., or it happened,
exactly.
It happened on a Sunday, or it was some goofy thing like that.
It happened on a Sunday. Monday was a holiday in D.C., and so you got reprieved for, it actually wasn't due till the 18th last year.
Last year. But this year, April 15th, be there, be square, huh?
Exactly. Last year, I guess, too, they had a hiccup in the IRS, and some of the returns that should have been accepted through e-file didn't get accepted till the next day, so they gave those people a reprieve till April 19th mm-hmm. last year, too. So
I'm guessing, and again, I have no training here, no expertise at all, I'm guessing that most folks who use VITA to get their taxes done for free would not be itemizing deductions, right?
You are correct. Mm. The majority.
I mean, could they if they so desired?
They could. However, the standard deduction has doubled this year, and so it throws a lot of people that are used to itemizing, myself included, mm-hmm. can't itemize anymore.
Unless you had some tremendous expense, like medical expenses, right, can be
and
itemized.
Yeah. Medical expenses, but they're subject to 10% of your income before you can even start itemizing. So
it gets so complicated so quickly, doesn't it?
It does.
It really does.
It does. And married filing joint, you have to exceed $24,000. Now they have also limited, we're all used to taking our state and local taxes that we paid off on your itemization.
Mm-hmm.
They have limited to $10,000. So that includes, you know, the state and local you're paying with your wages and your property taxes. So, you know, if you can exceed that $10,000 pretty quickly if you're just a new mortgagee. And
I was just going to ask you, are mortgage payments still deductible?
Well, the mortgage interest payment is mm-hmm. deductible, but your property taxes along with your state and local taxes can't exceed $10,000.
Was that another change under the tax law that was passed last year?
It is.
Tax
it
and
is.
Jobs law, or whatever the heck they call it.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of changes, folks. A lot of changes. Hey, one other thing we want to mention, kind of parenthetically here, but I guess not. There's always scams that pop up this time of year. And the IRS is worried about that. Correct me if I'm wrong. The IRS never calls people, right? At least they don't initially call people.
No, you would get a letter. They don't ever call anybody. And the IRS has required, like, all these software companies that are out there that mm-hmm. you can, you know, dial up on your computer. They have now required them to put more safeguards in, too. Like, if you did your taxes on their website last year and you're going back to do it this year, you have to have your AGI to be able to e-file from the previous
AGI,
year.
Adjusted gross income?
Yes.
Listen to me. I sound like I know what I'm talking about here.
So they have put some safeguards in there now. And like if you're a preparer and you buy software, however you, every time you log into a different computer, mm-hmm. getting into that software, they send you a code to either your email address or your phone so that somebody else can't get in and get people's information. So they're really trying to put these safeguards in. And the biggest scams are with people doing the earned income tax credit and things like that, the child tax credit. So those aren't going, like the refunds from those returns won't be going out till tomorrow. They were holding those off till mm-hmm. February 15th because they put those through more rigorous testing through their systems to make sure that they aren't scams.
Yeah. Be careful. And for goodness sakes, if you qualify, why not take advantage of the VITA program? I mean, it's out there and it's free, for goodness sakes.
And believe me, they have put us through rigorous safeguards, too. Like each morning when the interns come in to clock in, they have to get a code to get into the computer, so they are who they say they are and that kind of stuff.
That's
and
good.
Then we, our IT people have to make sure that it's a dedicated server and it's encrypted. And I'm not an IT person, so I don't know all those steps they have to go through, but...
Put it this way. You're safe if you are using the VITA program.
Correct.
Give us that phone number one more time. This is the number you call to make an appointment at any of the six different locations. All call the same number, right?
Correct. And it's 724-431-3767.
All righty. Gene, good to see you. Thanks for stopping in today and setting us straight on all this stuff.
It's nice to see you again, Dave, too. Can I mention one more thing?
Oh, please do.
I volunteer for an organization called Twilight Wish, and we are Make-A-Wish for Seniors. And we are doing a fundraiser next Thursday at 11th Frame Bar and Grill, where you can come and have a nice evening with us. We'll provide hors d'oeuvres, and for your $10 donation, you can have those heavy hors d'oeuvres and enjoy the company. And we are going to grant a wish that night. So we're we're happy to grant that wish at the event. And we've been doing this in Butler County since 2010, and we have granted some very nice wishes, everyday wishes, being, you know, making a shower safe for an elderly person, putting, you know, a handheld shower head and a grab bar and things like that. Anywhere from there to hearing aids to a hot air balloon ride. So we do, you know, those extravagant wishes where we had a lady that wanted to meet a Pittsburgh Pirate, and her and her 13 children got to go down on the field and meet the Pittsburgh Pirate. Oh, and we took grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and we got a school bus, and everybody went, and it was a very nice event for that family.
This event is it's a week from tonight.
It's a week from today.
Thursday of next week, 21st, 5:30 to 7:30 at the 11th Frame Bar and Grill, and that's on Fairground Hill Road.
And we'll have lots of baskets that we're auctioning off and things like that. So we'll have a trivia contest. And so come join us for a fun evening and help support Twilight Wish.
Good thing. Good to see you, Gene.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back. We're going to be talking about your eyes coming up next on It's Your Turn on WISR. Back right after these words.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
This Valentine's Day, take your sweetheart out for a home-cooked meal at Michael's Restaurant. Dinner specials start at 4, featuring chicken penne alfredo, chicken marsala, or surf and turf. Be sure to save room for a homemade dessert. Celebrate Valentine's Day at Michael's Restaurant on 422. In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Going to be talking about your eyes and your vision on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, listeners. Welcome. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Dr. Joseph Dowling, who is the co-author of a book entitled Vision, How It Works and What Can Go Wrong. Dr. Dowling, nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today, sir.
Thank you.
I understand we've made tremendous progress over the last few decades in understanding just how our eyes work and how to treat problems. Is that right?
That is exactly right, and that's one of the reasons that we wrote the book. And it's also sort of a preface to new discoveries and new developments that are coming along in the eye field in the near, in the not-too-distant future.
You and is it your brother?
That's my brother, right.
Yeah. Are you both practicing ophthalmologists?
No. We went different ways. He went into eye research as a as an academic. He has spent his career as a professor of neuroscience at Harvard studying the eye. And I went into medical school and ophthalmology residency, and I spent 50 years running an eye practice, taking care of patients. I think I've added up about 10,000 eye operations during the last 50 years. I'm retired now.
Wow. Well, tell us a little bit about what's new. What have we learned about how our eyes work and about how to treat eye problems in recent decades?
Well, there's a great array of new things. We have, for instance, when I started out in practice, and I was dealing with a patient with a cataract, and that's the most common eye disability that people get. In fact, cataract surgery is the single most common operation performed in this country on senior citizens. But in any event, in the days when I started out, the cataract, which is the lens of the eye, which is not clear anymore, was completely removed. And after a cataract operation, the eye was left without a lens. And without a lens, it didn't get much of a focus. So people could not see clearly except by wearing very thick glasses. They used to be called Coca-Cola glasses.
Yes, yes.
And those glasses were better than being blind, but they were far from natural vision. But over the years, we've changed the technique, so instead of just removing the eye, removing the lens, or removing the cataracts, we replace it with a plastic lens. And there have been all sorts of advances in plastic lenses. Originally, they were just one focus, and when you got a cataract operation, you could see in one distance, like you could see far away, but you'd have to put on reading glasses like non-cataract patients do to read. And now we have intraocular implants replacing the lens, which can let people see at any normal distance.
I'm still...
That's just one area of great improvement. Of course, ophthalmology has been leading the field in several areas. For instance, laser therapy has advanced from experience with ophthalmology. Another thing way back is the eye is the first organ in the body which ever was able to have transplants. So we've been doing corneal transplants long before any other area of medicine was able to do transplants. And a lot of what has been learned in corneal work has been applicable to transplants, whether it's a kidney or a heart or lungs or whatever.
Where exactly?
And microsurgery is another advance that started out in ophthalmology. When I was first an ophthalmologist, and I did a cataract operation, I did it just with my own eyes. Of course, I was a lot younger in those days, but we advanced to various magnifying devices, and now every eye operation and a lot of general operations are done with an operating microscope. So the surgeon is able to see tissues under high magnification, which in many instances makes a big difference between the success and failure of the procedure.
Still amazing.
Those are just a few of the areas that ophthalmology has been leading in and contributing to general medicine. But let me just say that now we are on the verge of further great advances in medical care, and that's in two particular areas. The first is gene replacement. In the last couple of years, there has been the development of identifying in one particular disease that babies are born with called Leber's congenital amaurosis, which in the past has been untreatable and has invariably led to blindness in babies when they get into their early years, or at most their teenage years. And in the last couple of years, a technique has been developed of finding an intact gene and injecting that into the back of the eye and getting it to replace the defective gene. And patients who had lost their vision are getting their vision back. And children and families who have this defective gene are going through life. Of course, it's only been a few years, but so far they're going through life without any impairment of their vision. So that's one of the ways that ophthalmology is leading the medical research field. And then the other new area is stem cells. These are these multi-potential cells that can develop into any of the tissues in the body, and if they are managed correctly, and we're still a long way from having this work entirely successfully, we can put new cells, stem cells, into places in the body. We've been doing it in the eye, where they will develop into the appropriate cells and let the eye function the way it normally should. And this, I certainly believe, is transferable to other sections of the body. Well, anyway, those are just a few of the ways in which knowledge of the eye and advances in eye techniques are helping people with eye problems, but also with implications for people with general medical diseases.
Absolutely. You mentioned laser eye surgery a few moments ago. Is that LASIK, or is LASIK a particular brand name or type of laser?
LASIK is a procedure that's used by lasers, and it's used primarily for changing what we call the refractive error, the focusing error of eyes. For instance, when people are nearsighted, they can't see things far away, because the focusing apparatus of the eye is focused at near instead of where it normally would be, at 20 feet and beyond. But what the laser does is to resurface the form of the cornea so that the focus of the eye is brought back onto the retina where it belongs and where it allows people to see clearly. Of course, we're using lasers for lots of other things now. That's where they started out with LASIK. That was the first clinical use. But now we're using it for many things, particularly in various retinal diseases. If people have abnormal blood vessels in the back of their eye, they can be eliminated by laser treatment. If people develop inflammatory membranes inside the eye, we can remove those with a laser. So there are many uses of laser nowadays.
Is it still important to get a routine eye examination, Dr. Dowling?
Well, that's a controversial issue. I tend to be more liberal than a lot of my contemporaries, but as far as eye examinations, I think every baby that's born should have their eyes looked at, and most obstetricians and pediatricians will do that, because some people are born with congenital cataracts or other congenital problems that need to be managed when the baby is born. In fact, one of the great things about ophthalmology is it covers the spectrum of people's lives. We take care of premature babies who have an eye condition associated with prematurity, all the way up to people over 100 years old. So it's a widespread specialty. But as far as your question is concerned, every baby should have his or her eyes looked at, and a child should have his or her vision tested by the time they're 3.5 years old, which is something that most pediatricians will do. You can do that. There are various devices to detect the vision in young children. After that, I'm not convinced. People certainly don't need routine eye examinations if they are asymptomatic. Of course, if a person gets an injury, a child gets an injury playing sports, or complains of not being able to see the board in school, and that's an indication for an examination. But as far as the normal, well-functioning, asymptomatic teenager or 20-year-old or even 30-year-old, then I don't feel normal routine eye examinations are necessary. Of course, there are exceptions. For instance, if a family has a strong history of some abnormality like glaucoma or something, then that child should be marked as a potential recipient of the disease and be checked periodically. Now, all of us who have started out with normal eyesight get to be around 40, 45 years old and notice we have trouble reading. and people have to break out reading glasses, and they sell them around in drugstores and so forth. And so that's what that does is bring the patient into the eye doctor and allows the opportunity for a complete eye examination. Now, if anything is found, any indication that there may be some abnormality developing in that person, then he or she would be referred back for an appointment in a specific period of time, like 6 months or a year. But until people get up into their 60s and until they start having some visual troubles, I don't feel a routine eye examination is necessary for most people if they're completely asymptomatic.
I want to ask you about
that's
one
a
other...
Long, that's a long answer
that's
for
okay.
a short question.
That's why we're talking to you. I want to ask you one more thing before our time expires. You mentioned the cataracts earlier in our conversation. You say that's the most common surgery for seniors and older folks. I want to ask about one other thing at that stage of life, and that's macular degeneration. Could you talk about
right.
that for a moment?
Okay, well, macular degeneration is the most common, most feared condition that we're seeing these days. And as the population aging, of course, ophthalmology deals with a lot of older folks. And as people age, this macular degeneration condition develops. And we're not quite sure why. It certainly has something to do with circulation and impairment of blood flow to the brain. But the macula is a little tiny spot in the middle of the retina, where the retina is like the film in the camera where the picture is taken. But the macula mediates acute vision. We have to use our maculas to read, to see clearly in the distance, to see television clearly, to see people's faces. All those things are mediated by the macula. And in some people, as they get older, the macula start to deteriorate. So that's macular degeneration. And we know a lot about it, but there's a lot more to be learned. If you have it in your family or know about it, there are two types of macular degeneration. One is atrophic, which means the cells just die by themselves. And then that's called the dry type. And then there's a wet type, which is more aggressive and more severe, and is associated with the formation of new blood vessels in and around the macula, which destroys its functional capability. We have treatment for that. The treatment consists of injections of a medication inside the eye. So many people are coming in the office every day to have injections in their eyes to prevent wet macular degeneration from advancing. But the things I mentioned to you about gene replacement and stem cells, I think, are going to be the answer to the macular degeneration problem.
Wow. Is there a website or somewhere where listeners can connect with you for more information, Dr. Dowling?
Well, I would think I would say one good place is this book we wrote, my brother and I. He's a basic scientist, and I'm a practicing physician, and so we tried to combine the new findings and the basic information about how the eye is structured and how it functions, which was his part of the writing, and then my part was the clinical end, where I describe the various common entities that people run into with their eyes, like strabismus and glaucoma and macular degeneration, cataracts, and those things. And I think that's a good place to start. It's a little commercial, but that's what we're about here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And that not only has that information, and we've written it, we hope, in such a way that the average person who has an interest in learning more about his or her eyes will get the information that they need, and then it has a lot of references to more complete descriptions of the abnormalities.
And listeners, if you're looking for the book, the title is Vision, How It Works and What Can Go Wrong, by John and Joseph Dowling. Dr. Dowling, nice to talk with you today. Very informative today. Thanks for spending some time with us, sir.
Oh, you're very welcome. I enjoyed it, and thank you for having me.
Sure.
And say hello to all those people out in Pittsburgh.
Okay, we will.
I'm not so worried about Pittsburgh. as I used to be when they played the Patriots, Pittsburgh went down a little bit.
Oh, now, you don't want to say that, not to Steeler fans.
I know, and I would only say it right after the Super Bowl. Anyway, there's been a lot of great football. I've seen a lot of great football games between Pittsburgh and New England.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Thanks again, Doctor. So long now.
You're very welcome.
This year for Valentine's Day, give your sweetheart more than a box of chocolates and a mushy card. How about an evening of dining and dancing at Tanglewood, your hometown center for entertainment, Saturday, February 16th, with the Dorrells, featuring music for baby boomers through the 90s. This five-piece band is one of the area's best for partying and dancing. Doors open at 6. Station buffet dinner by Chef George at 7. Showtime at 8. All this for $25. As always, it's BYOB. Tickets available at 287-0021.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away. Why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. We're going to talk about invasive pests, hungry pests, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. If you're just joining us, I'm Dave Malarkey. Our guest chats with us by telephone. She is Samantha Simon, and she is the Senior Invasive Species Coordinator for the USDA. Samantha, nice to have you with us here today.
Thank you for having me on your show, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about hungry pests.
The USDA, by the way, is the United States Department of Agriculture. Well, we've seen what hungry pests can do here in Pennsylvania. Some years ago, we had a gypsy moth infestation. We still have a bit of a problem with them, not as much as we had before. The latest we've seen is the emerald ash borer, which has pretty much wiped out all the ash trees here in Pennsylvania over the last few years. Is that a problem in other places as well, Samantha?
Oh, yes. The emerald ash borer is responsible for the destruction of over a fifth of our ash trees throughout the United States. So it really is a pest that we are trying to control to limit the spread and limit the damage that it's doing.
Well, all along highways in Pennsylvania now, we see these dead trees. Almost all of them are ash trees that have been killed by the emerald ash borer. Now, I know that you're asking, and the USDA is asking for help from the people in controlling these hungry pests. How the heck can the general population help out, Samantha?
The hungry pests are 20 invasive species that are identified by the USDA that are easily spread by people through the things that they move. So that means what people can do to help is to not move them. So these hungry pests, they like to hitchhike from place to place in our cars and trucks. They like to hide in agricultural products such as fruit, vegetables, plants, and they also like to hide in firewood and other outdoor items. So it's really important that listeners take steps to prevent their movement.
I knew about firewood. In fact, we've had restrictions a number of different times here in Pennsylvania about moving firewood in the past several years. I didn't realize they could travel on plants and seeds, too. No. Wow.
Yes, they can. So, and you know, right now, Pennsylvania is dealing with the spotted lanternfly. Now, this pest has been in Pennsylvania for the last 4 years. Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture has done a great job controlling it, but we've seen that it has spread through southeastern Pennsylvania, and we recently announced that we were giving $17.5 million to Pennsylvania for emergency funding to eradicate this pest.
What does the spotted lanternfly? Does it have a particular tree that it likes to eat?
It likes to eat lots of things. So it really likes orchards. It likes grapes. And it also it likes walnuts and poplar and oak trees too. So it really does like lots of things that Pennsylvania has.
Mm. Camping season is near. Eventually, it's going to warm up a little bit, we hope. But what about these hungry pests? Can they travel on camping gear and RVs and that sort of thing?
They can. They love to find places, whether to lay their eggs or to just, hitchhike as adults on your RV, on your camper, on anything that you might have outside that you might be taking with you as you travel. Toys. We like to keep our toys outside and then take them with us when we go camping. So it's really important that you clean your items, both when you're going someplace that might not have the pests, and when you're returning, before you return home from a place that does have pests. It's really important to make sure that your outdoor items are clean. And that includes in removing soil from your shoes or from your tires on your vehicles.
Wow. I know that some stages of the development of ticks, they're almost invisible. What about these hungry pests? Can you see these creatures?
So for the spotted lanternfly, you can see egg masses.
Okay.
And also, that's same with the emerald ash borer, same with the gypsy moth. You can see those egg masses. When spring comes, once they emerge and you have adult beetles, you can start to see those adult beetles. And a really great way to help identify what you're seeing is by going to hungrypests.com. We have a variety of photos and descriptions of these 20 pests on that website.
So those are the main ones that are threatening us here in Pennsylvania, the emerald ash borer and the spotted lanternfly. Are there any others?
Like you mentioned, you do still have the European gypsy moth, but for right now, those seem to be the big ones. It's really important that we want to keep it that way in Pennsylvania, that we want to keep the spotted lanternfly in southeastern Pennsylvania, and hopefully we will have that eradicated soon, and not bring other things in. So, again, it's very important that folks learn what they can do to stop the spread of hungry pests, and they can get all that information from hungrypests.com.
How do these pests spread so rapidly? Are there no natural predators? Aren't there any other things or birds or something that eat these guys?
Well, so these pests, actually, they're not native to the areas that we're talking about. So, the spotted lanternfly, it is not native. It came out of Asia. So same with the emerald ash borer. So they come in because they come in through a variety of ways. Trade is a big way. We like to have trade with our foreign partners. And also through travel. We like to travel. And so oftentimes people unknowingly bring something with them or send something back through the mail, these agricultural products in particular. So when coming back from international travel, make sure to declare all agricultural products to the U.S. Customs officers.
One final question. I know when the gypsy moths were really bad here in western Pennsylvania, it's about 10 years or so ago now, we actually did some spraying. Some people even hired helicopters to come in and spray if they had large tracts of land. Is there anything we can do to protect our trees and our gardens from these latest infestations of invasive pets?
Well, really, early detection is critical. So people can just go out into their gardens, out into their yards, and look, see what they may have. If they think they have a pest, contact their state plant health director through hungrypests.com. And, if they also think they might have a bug already that's there in Pennsylvania, you can contact your tree expert or your local agricultural extension agent to discuss what's the most effective tactic for getting rid of those pests.
Well, we've really seen what damage they can do in recent years. One more time, there was a website you gave us, Samantha, where people could get more info on these guys.
Yes, please visit hungrypests.com to learn how to leave hungry pests behind.
Samantha Simon, a Senior Invasive Species Coordinator for the United States Department of Agriculture. Thanks, Samantha. Interesting info. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, folks, have you heard about Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center? Yeah, they're located just off Newcastle Road, Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande. Going Postal Butler. They package your items for shipping. And that takes care of a situation that sometimes can be a real bother. You know, you got to get the wrapping paper, the string, the tape, whatever you need. They'll do it for you. And you can ship any way you want to, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They will package your items for shipping at Going Postal Butler. Other services they offer, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes. They have an official notary. Also greeting cards, even a lottery agent. Going Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane. That's just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's in the Shockey mini storage area. For more information, give them a call, 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
This month at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, get your seeds started with Espoma Organic Potting Soil, germination kits, heat mats, earth boxes, and walk-in greenhouses. Take care of your animals with squirrel-proof bird feeders, bird food, Zach and Zoe dog coats, dog beds, heated thermo cat houses, and heated waterers. Feed the deer with Imperial Whitetail 30-06, Trophy Rocks, Osterling's Deer Feed and Corn. And stop in for maple tree tapping supplies like buckets, spiles, drill bits, and guide books. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden in Butler.
Pittsburgh commuters, are you tired of sitting in traffic while wasting all of your money on parking fees, wear and tear on your vehicle, and gas? Butler Transit is a commuter's choice from Butler County to Pittsburgh. BTA's chartered buses offer free park and ride locations, onboard Wi-Fi, and charging stations, and real-time bus location technology. Stop worrying about traffic, detours, and downtown parking. Catch a bus at a location near you. Visit butlertransit.com for daily schedules, mobile ticketing, and a stress-free commute.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR.